Good morning. All right, interactive already. I love it. I am honored to be here this morning. I'm humbled by Pastor Jim's introduction, but even more so, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, aren't you glad to know that Jesus lives? And as we have went through this sermon series, Jesus Is, I am praying that today would just be a blessing to you. For all that are in attendance today, that you would truly come out just with a greater awareness, a greater taste, a greater sense of who Jesus is. And the Lord has richly blessed me with a lot of opportunities in working with students, and both in public schools and now at Open Door Christian Schools and youth ministry. And the Lord has been so good. I can honestly say that no matter where I've been, whether it's been watching a basketball game in an alley-oop, or whether it's been into a classroom, or I love the opportunity to live real life with students and show them that Jesus Christ is not just someone that they put on at moments of their life, but Jesus Christ is somebody that will last and for their life. He is a timeless source of comfort. He is our Savior, as I'm going to be preaching a little bit today on. He is somebody that no matter where the waves of life may take you, aren't you glad that we have a friend, a Savior, a Lord in Jesus Christ that will walk us through those waves? So I am glad that you're here. And as we take care of a little bit of housekeeping just right at the onset, I want this to be a little bit interactive. I want you to be dialed in. So the first thing that we did, if you look at your sermon insert, the first thing that we decided to do is throw you a curveball this morning and make point one, actually point two. All right. We really didn't do that to make sure you're dialed in, but we did. I did not want you to be confused as we were going through. So as we get started at the conclusion of this Jesus Is series, just know that we're going to start in the middle, and then we'll go to the top, and then we'll go to the end. So we'll finish all in the same place. But when we talk about Jesus Is, today's sermon is about Jesus Is Worth Hearing. You know, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of things going on in the world today. We're hearing a lot. Everybody has something to say. But I am thrilled to be able to open up God's Word and still know that Jesus Christ has something to say to the world that we're living in today. So we're going to be in John chapter 7. Encourage you, if you could, to stand with me, those that are able. In John chapter 7, we're going to reference the reading of his word by our standing. We're going to start at John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his word, some of the people said, 'Surely this man is the prophet.' Others said, 'He is the Messiah.' Still others asked, 'How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?' Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, 'Why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does,' the guards replied. 'You mean he has deceived you also?' the Pharisees retorted. 'Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them.' Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, 'Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?' They replied, 'Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee.'" Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for those that have made it a priority to be here as well. I pray that you would be a blessing to them. Dear Lord, I pray throughout the remainder of this message that you would be glorified, Lord, because all glory is due to your name. I pray today that Christians would be encouraged today as they live for you. And I pray today that if there's someone here seeking, somebody trying to figure out what life is all about, Lord, today that you would just minister to them as well and show them that you truly are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we ask all these things because of what you've done for us, and we'll give you all the praise in return. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. All right, so as we are talking about something worth hearing, there's all kinds of things that you could check in your list as far as why would we want to hear somebody, all right? And one of the things that I always look for, and you see it right in John chapter 7, I want somebody when that's worth hearing, I want to make sure that they are declarative. So as we look at the first piece, Jesus is declarative, all right? I want you to catch this scene, and we've heard it a little bit before last week. Pastor Jim, when he was speaking on this passage, he set the scene really well. It says, on the greatest and the last day of the feast, all right? So this is the time where everybody is going to be there. This is the time where everybody has been hearing about Jesus. They've been wondering if Jesus was going to appear on the greatest and last day of the feast. Here is Jesus, and Scripture records what Jesus did. He didn't say that he timidly stood up. It didn't say that, but Jesus clearly and loudly proclaimed that he and said, "I have something to say." He was declarative, and you know, in 2016, Jesus Christ still has something to say. And he is declarative. And so what is he declarative about? What does he want us to know? Well, the first thing he wants us to know is about his lordship. You know, there's one thing about knowing Jesus. We have to accept Jesus for who he is and who he proclaims to be. Now, there is a lot of noise in the crowd, and there is a lot of noise around the world that we live in that would like to not ascribe lordship to Jesus, but Jesus describes and proclaims himself in John 7 and also throughout other places in Scripture that he is Lord. Other people that wrote in the canon of Scripture does the same. Apostle Paul looks at him years after in the book of Colossians and says, hey, all things were created through him and by him and for him. He's Lord. He goes on in Philippians 2 where Pierce had led us in worship this morning. And he says, hey, that at the every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We can't move away from the fact that he proclaims himself to be Lord. We also can't move away from the fact that, you know, in our lives, we kind of would like to be Lord of them ourselves. But Jesus looks at us and says, no, I'm Lord. From the beginning until now, until the end of the age, I'm Lord. Now, I would have a problem with that, a big problem, if I didn't know what else Jesus was trying to declare. And throughout the world today, people have problems with the Lordship, and I really believe it's because they don't see the other side of the coin. What else is he trying to declare about himself? And what he's trying to declare about himself is his desire for relationship. Now, how many of you have ever played the game King of the Hill when you were growing up? All right. Now, I'm a small guy. I seldom won at King of the Hill. All right. But every once in a while, I will get there. All right, and when I would get there, you know, here's the deal with King of the Hill. Even though people were trying to throw you off or trying, you were able to kind of make the decisions as you were King of the Hill. You were going to make your, and it was when you had all the authority, all the control, all the power. It was who you showed yourself to be at that time that really showed your character.
I want you to think, Jesus Christ, Lord, in creation, after six incredible days, five creating the masterpiece that we get to just but see a glimpse of in his creation. He says, you know what? As great as all of this is, I want to do something more. And he created man and he made him in his own image because he desired a relationship. And throughout the entire story that is recorded in the Word of God, you see God's relentless pursuit of relationship. So when he is the strongest, most powerful, sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what's he doing? When he could do anything, he's seeking to have relationship with each and every one of us. He seeks that relationship despite our messes, despite our sin, despite all of these things. He seeks after us. Now, as I think about his seeking sovereign grace, I'm reminded of a story that happened several years ago, and when I was taking my son to a party that he was going to be at, and he was right in those early adolescent, where there's going to be some girls at the party. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, so I guess I ought to look good for that. But yet there was a football at the party. And so this inner anxiety, am I to play football or am I to make myself look presentable to the young ladies that will be coming later? Football won. All right, and not only won with my kid, but it won with all of the group. Now, here's the other piece. We know it won't win forever, right? But for that day, it had won, and there was this field, and it was muddy, and it was just, and all the dads, you know, are watching the train wreck that was about to happen. And we kept on saying, hey, guys, you may not want to do that. It's wet, of course, they did what kids do, all right? What I would have done, well, you know, it's only wet in some areas. We'll just play in the areas that's not wet. Until the long pass was thrown. Right in the area that was the soupy mess. And I saw one of Denver's friends make this beautiful diving catch. And I watched him get up a muddy mess. Now, the dads looked at that, shook their heads in disbelief. The father of that particular son, he went to try and assist him, and he took him into this garage. And what was going to happen? You know, his clothes were messed up. You know, and so I watched this thing unfold. And you know, if you're a father, you know you're running the gamut of I'm mad at you. I want to tell you, I told you so. I probably will tell you I told you so. And then, how can I help him? You know, and so out of the garage, here appears this young man. He's walking out. And I look at this young man, and all of a sudden he has a pair of new pants on. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. They must have had a change of clothes in the garage. That is one smart dad. All right. And then I watch dad walk out of the garage. And when dad walked out of the garage, he was wearing the muddy clothes. He was wearing all of the mess. Now, as I watched that unfold, it reminded me of what Jesus did for us. That through life and through experiences in the condition of man, we're constantly throwing footballs in areas that we have no business being. I'm constantly trying to run around and I make myself a mess because of the condition of who I am. But yet the Word of God says that Jesus became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God through him. He seeks relationship, and there's not a single person here this morning that he doesn't seek to do that great, incredible exchange. He seeks it and he redeems us from our mess and gives us his righteousness. But not only that, John 7 talks about how he sustains relationship, talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and how that it was going to be given to us. And that is, he's not content with just to give us a change of clothes, but he's content, he wants to consistently and systematically sustain us in the challenges of life. And he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. He gives us the gift and the fellowship of the saints. He gives us a church that can love us and grow us. And so he's not content just to have us just get a new change of clothes and that's it. He wants to be with us, as he told his disciples, always, even until the end of the world. So he is Lord. That is something that will not change. But he is a loving Lord that when he could do anything that he wanted, chose to come to this earth, fashion himself as a man, live a sinless life, die on a cross for our sins, and raise so that because he lives, we can live also. He is an awesome God. But he's also declarative about us. Now, at our school, we have a set of patriot principles, and there are four. We want our kids to know who God is, and we want our kids to know who they are. And one of the things I teasing around, but also truthfully say, is that I want you to know who God is, and I want you to know that you're not him. And the reality is, I have to tell myself that a lot as well. When he starts declaring about who he is, it cannot help but show us who we are. He's declarative about our identity. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, he's declarative about our condition. You know, no matter what we do, even on our best day, the Word of God says that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not enough an amount of religious exercise that I could ever do to clean myself up. I am hopeless in that piece. I am the guy that dived in the mud and is incapable of cleaning myself up. And that is not just me, but that is the condition of man. We've all sinned. The Word of God is really clear and pointed, and it makes us uncomfortable when it says that, you know, if we say that we don't have sin, we're deceiving ourselves. Right? That's the condition of who we are. But one of the beautiful things is we don't have to remain there. Not only is it a condition of who we are, but when we find who Jesus is, we can remove ourselves from that condition. Apostle Paul says that we can become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And in that new creation, we can find our purpose. We can find who God really wants us to be. We can find the works that he set out for our lives that we read about in Ephesians 2:10. We see our purpose. But if a guy is going to say that he's Lord, if he's going to point out our condition, which is sinful and coming short with penalty, if he's going to do that, and he's going to tell us that we're incapable of cleaning it up on our own without ascribing to the solution afforded to us through him, then we need to understand that he's going to be divisive. Now, John chapter 7, you see it, don't you? Jesus Christ says, hey, anybody that believes in me will come after me. I'll give you these rivers of living water that is flowing out from you. I will quench your thirst, as Pastor Jim preached last week. But there is divisiveness that emerges, and division comes not because it's his intent. Jesus would so wants to graft everyone in. But the division is really based on our belief. Are we going to choose to believe in Jesus or not? So like John chapter 7, you see some hear the words, they yell out, this is the guy, this is the guy. This is the prophet, this is the Messiah. And then others are like, hey, wait a minute. The Messiah, the prophet, he has to come from the Davidic line. He has to come out of Bethlehem. This guy's from Galilee. Right? This can't be. And because of their belief systems, they were choosing on whether or not they were going to allow Jesus to be Lord in their lives. Now, how many of us know this to be true in our lives that we live in? There are a lot of belief systems out there. There are a lot of people thinking a lot of different things. And you may have come in here today and you're trying to sort it out and figure it out. And Jesus is divisive, and he's divisive based on our belief. But his desire is to reveal himself to you. And so as a result of that, we need to challenge our thoughts continually. We need to be asking ourselves why we believe a certain way. And at school, we challenge ourselves and hold dear to the fact, and one of our shared values is that our world is correctly seen through a biblical view. And a biblical view is not going to be the populist opinion. It's not going to be all the time what is appealing to the crowds or the masses or authorities. But if we believe Jesus to be Lord, we also believe his words to be true. I was teasing around with our cross-country team that I'm privileged to coach this past week. And when I was teasing around with them, somebody said something that was just absolutely false, joking around. It was we were having a good time. And I teasingly referenced back to them. I'm like, you know, you got to be careful not to, you're kind of taking this attitude of don't disturb my reality with the truth. But don't we have, as in this world that we live in, we have a lot of folks just struggling because they have their own reality. But what we really need is the truth. And Jesus declares himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. And so we need to be challenging our thoughts continually. And we need to be making sure that we truly ascribe to the press that our world is correctly seen through a biblical view. Now, that biblical view is about growing in knowledge and understanding. And I want to nudge you just a little bit. It's growing in knowledge and understanding of his word, you know, and time spent in his word. So let me give you a story that, as I shared earlier this morning, that probably will be disturbing to anybody that is, this guy did this and he's the head of schools, and the answer is yes. All right, so I'm going to just tell you a story about a camping trip that I had about 20 years ago. All right, it is not one of my flattering moments. I'm telling you that right now. All right, we had went to this place, and when we were at this campground, and this campground had wild ponies there. It's a national campground. It had these wild ponies, and we got there late, so we had to set up our tent late, and then we left for a while, and we came back, and when we came back, it was pitch black. We had been playing around by the ocean, so my friends, they wanted to go and get themselves cleaned up. They had their stuff in the car. I had left my stuff in the tent. Now, everywhere I went, I kept on seeing these signs about wild ponies. Don't feed the wild ponies. Beware wild ponies kick. All these things. And so I went to the tent to get my shower supplies and started walking back. It's pitch black. I really can't even see my hand. And as I'm walking, I start hearing this clumping by me. And I'm thinking, this is a wild pony, all right? And so I speed up. Guess what the wild pony did? Sped up. I'm scared out of my mind. I sprint. Guess what the wild pony did? All right, it's all right to laugh at me. I'm not taking no offense to it. Right, and it starts sprinting with me. I'm hearing the hoofs just clomp, clomp, clomp. And so I stop. I'm like, well, maybe if I just stop, And then all of a sudden the pony stops. And I'm like, this is odd, strange. And so I start walking, trying to sort things out. And guess what the pony starts doing again? Frustrated, I stick my hands in my shorts pockets, and then I found the pony. My soap box was in my pocket with the soap in the soap. And so every time I was going, clunk, clunk, clump, I thought that this pony, it's embarrassing, but I'm just as real as it gets, all right? I thought that this soapbox was a pony, all right? It was not, all right? But here's the deal. Because I had only a little bit of information, and I was coming into the table with some presuppositions and ideas on something I didn't know, I had made a determination about that moment in time. And do you know that that's really what the world is searching for? They have all these ideas about Jesus. They have all these things, and they hear the headlines about. But what they really need to see is authentic people loving Jesus and allowing Jesus to love them. You got to grow in knowledge and understanding. And as you're growing that knowledge and understanding, you have to cultivate a genuine concern for other people. Right? You know, our patriot principles, I remember I told you God, identity. Well, our third one is relationships. Because you just simply cannot have an authentic biblical view unless you realize that that biblical view is meant to be poured into the lives of other people. Got to generate and cultivate a concern. And even though, you know, we see so many things that concern us in this world that we live in today, in this culture, and it drives us to our knees to pray, we have to make sure that we are constantly and striving always to cultivate a genuine concern. And then we have to take action. We have to love people. You know, as the Lord was laying on my heart this message, I didn't know about the carabiners that the church was going to pass out about inviting someone to church. But that is a tangible way we can take action. Let them know that there's something here worth hearing. And then at our school, you know, I'll just share this. And, I'm proud of what I'm starting to see our students do. We have a commitment about serving. And the service hours, they have to be outside of the walls of the school and the church. We want our athletic teams to pick a community organization and serve them in a service project. We want our lower school students, our preschool through grade 6, we want them to pick a community organization and 3 times have touch points with them, because we don't want our students to be in a bubble. We want them to be engaging as salt and light. And doesn't Jesus want that not only for the students of ODCS, but he wants that for all of us. He wants us to be salt and light to a world that so desperately needs him. So in order for us to be salt and light, we have to take action. Because if we take action, there will be people in the crowd that find Jesus to be desirous. Jesus is a treasure worth having. How many believe that this morning? He's worth having. This relationship that has sustained you through the years of life, this relationship that forgave you of your sins, he's worth having. He's desirous. And he's desirous despite the influence of others. You know, the temple guards, I'm struck by John chapter 7, the temple guards, they were sent to arrest Jesus. They had been commissioned by the religious rulers, the Pharisees, to have the ability to do that. They come back into the place where the rulers exist, the ones that had given them a commissioning to go arrest Jesus. And they said, and the Pharisees were like, why didn't you arrest him? What's wrong with you? Why didn't you do that? And their response is a response that, even though I can't necessarily relate to that time and season, it is a response that I could relate to in my heart. when Jesus spoke into and he spoke and said, I could honestly say that just like the temple guards, no one has ever spoke to me like this. I've never heard anything like this. Somebody can forgive me of my sins. Somebody can make me a new creation. Somebody, and all of a sudden, despite the influence of others and the religious rulers of that day, they were yielding their influence. They were calling out the mob in John chapter 7. They were calling out the thinking of their own as they picked on Nicodemus. They were calling out all of this stuff. And isn't that exactly, as we look at the landscape, we see this every day in our headlines. But even though, despite the madness of the culture, despite the concerns that grow and resonate in our hearts, Jesus, if we keep proclaiming the name above all names, he is desirous despite the influence of others. He's somebody worth hearing. And as we move on, he's desirous despite the resume of your life. You know, I wish that I could come to you and say that you know, about as bad as it gets for me was, you know, my wild pony story. That's about it. I don't have anything worse than that, but I would be lying. My resume is not only good stuff. My resume is ugly stuff. My guess is there's people here this morning that can absolutely ascribe to that as well. And let me even say it this way. Since the Lord has gloriously saved me, I'd like to say that the worst that's ever been is a wild pony story. That's not true either. But despite the resume of my life, and the reason why I just ascribe my love to him is because despite all that muddy mess, despite the silliness and the ugliness that at times wells up and comes out in me, despite that resume, he loves me. And he loves you. He's worth hearing because he is desirous and he's jealous for you. And he shouts, come as you are. So don't think you have to have it all put together. Don't think that you'll ever have it all put together for that matter. But just realize that Jesus is a friend. Jesus is a sovereign Lord that could do whatever he wanted to. I'm always grabbed by thinking about what Jesus is doing right now. Scripture gives insight to that. Scripture said, you know, after he rises from the dead, after he's now sitting on the throne, what is he doing? I mean, he could do anything, right? Scripture says that he prays for us. Me, my crazy life, he's that concerned for my life? The answer is yes. And it's not exclusive, friend. He's that concerned for yours. He is desirous, despite the influence, despite the noise of the crowd, despite the influence of others and the resume of life, Jesus speaks into your heart. Regardless of the madness. And what is he saying? Without question, he's saying, hey, I'm Lord. But he's saying, hey, but that's a good thing. Because they read about Jesus, that when he would have the right to condemn, when he would have the right to judge, when he would have the right to do all of these other things, what does he choose to do? But die for us, forgive us, and allow us to have a relationship with him. So as I close this morning, just love for you to be searching in your heart. You may have 1,001 items on your resume. 1,001 reasons that this that you may have even convinced yourself that Jesus would never want to have relationship with me. Done too much, gone too far, but you know, Jesus just keeps on knocking on your heart's door. Says, hey, you're the one. I want to have relationship with you. I want to give you abundant life. I don't want to just give that abundant life to the guy that seems like they have it all together, the lady that seems like just everything is perfect in their family. I want to give it to you. And as a believer, when is the last time? You know, I heard John say it earlier today. But when is the last time that you just paused and thanked the Lord that we're part of this thing? Don't deserve it. Didn't earn it. But Jesus, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, made him to be Savior for us. And as we look through all the madness of this world, let him speak in your heart. As we're led in worship, just pause for a bit. Just thank him for the gift of salvation that he's brought you into. If you're here this morning and you're still trying to figure it out, know that Jesus delights in seeking and saving those which are lost. And never doubt the affection of a living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because when he could do anything, he chooses to reach out to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for your love. Thankful for your goodness. Thankful for the ministry of the gospel. Thankful for how your Holy Spirit can just minister and pierce through all the madness of this earth and the stuff that we go through and show us who you are. Lord, I'm thankful that we can be like the disciples when Jesus asked one day, what's the crowd say that I am? Who are they saying that I am? And they're saying, well, some of you say that you're a prophet. Some of them say you're a great teacher. Some of you say all this. But then Jesus looked at them, and Lord, you looked at their lives and you said, but who do you say that I am? And the answer was, I believe that you are the Christ, our Savior, the Son of the living God. And the disciples, in all of their mess, Jesus looked at them and said, blessed are you. Because people didn't reveal that to you. But I did. My spirit did. And Lord, as we come here today, we come as we are. And I pray today that as we sing this song, that you would minister to the hearts of each and every one. Lord, to you be the glory for the wonderful gift of salvation and declaring yourself who you are. Amen.